Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Losers, in other words.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Thanks for listening. Bulldog is out sick today. I may have made him sick. How do you really ever know? This is Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. Joining me now on the West Her Hotline is Davis Maddock. Davis tweeted an article he wrote at Roto Experts. But I think you're in a lot of places, not just Roto Experts, right?
Actually, starting this football season, I am exclusively at Roto Experts.
All right. But we have until September. For until then, you're in a lot of places. Until then, the podcast and all the other...
I have the tape cast, but all of my NFL content can be found on Roto Experts now. All my NFL draft stuff and best ball stuff is there.
All right. So what got me thinking today about you was the article about tight ends. I think it ended up being, what I clicked on ended up being about Irv Smith, mostly from Alabama. But let's talk about tight ends in this draft here at the start, Davis. So the Bills draft ninth. And I think tight end is a really intriguing idea for them. It would seem that there's quality enough in the draft to do that then or later. And then you get into questions about the scheme and, of course, the players and maybe even the history of tight ends being picked in the first round that isn't, you know, always the best. So what's the right way to start here when looking at this? If you were me, like, what would be the biggest question?
Well, the first thing that you would think about if you were the Bills was you would be saying what tight end fits with the kind of offense that we want to design with Josh Allen, because you're not running a conventional offense with Josh Allen. You need to give him a lot of high-percentage throws close to the line of scrimmage. You need him to have pretty solid blocking, and you need his blockers to be mobile because he's going to move the pocket a fair bit. And I think for that reason, if I was the Bills tight end, if TJ Hawkinson is there at nine, and I think he would be, I think he actually is a pretty good scheme fit for what Buffalo might want to do. Mm-hmm. But I actually don't know so much if Irv Smith Jr. or Noah Fant, the two other big tight ends in this class, would be great scheme fits for the type of offense that Josh Allen should be the leader of.
So is Hawkinson good enough then overall to deserve the ninth pick? I think most of what I've heard says he is.
I believe he is. In my first mock draft, I've done two now. In the first one that I did, I actually had Hawkinson at fourth overall to the Raiders.
Wow.
And I don't even think that would be a super reach. He is one of the best blockers I have ever seen at the tight end position. He's really like a third tackle. And you know, if you want to look at his production at Iowa, It was better than George Kittle. It was about what Travis Kelce did in college when he was at Cincinnati. But he looks like a wide receiver with the ball in his hand. So, you know, if Buffalo took Hawkinson at nine, I would not be saying that was a reach.
Okay. So the Bills have done a lot in free agency. I mean, there's at least a lot of quantity. Positions of need, apparent positions of need, wide receiver being one, offensive line, they have really gone after in free agency, which seems smart. Of course, it remains to be seen how good those players amount to be, but it's a good idea, good plan. And so, if you know enough about it, Davis, like, where does that leave them for the draft? Like, offensive line is strong enough, it seems, at that ninth pick. Defensive line would be strong enough there. And their defensive line is decent, but could, you know, always use someone else. So, like, how do you weigh, in your case, how do you weigh the value of the player on the board versus the position of need?
Well, I will always weigh players that can influence the passing game more than other players. So, like, for example, there are going to be a couple really good linebackers on the board at nine. Devin White from LSU, and I forget the name of the guy from Mississippi State off the top of my head, and I've seen those guys mocked there a couple times, but I actually think the selection that Buffalo fans should be hoping the team makes is Ed Oliver, mm-hmm. because he fits with what I think Buffalo wants to do, which is they want to rush the passer as much as possible, and they want to create disruption from the interior and from the edge. And their edge rushers were okay last year. And with Kyle Williams retiring, they have this big hole in the middle of their defensive line. And I think Ed Oliver, I mean, he could be there for the next 8 years doing a similar job.
And then tight end would have to wait. And if it does, then that's not the end of the world.
Yeah, they could run. And they have, I mean, you know, they have a lot of bodies at wide receiver now. Like, they could run. And I don't think there's, like, Josh Allen would be a good empty personnel quarterback to me, or one running back, four wide receivers. Like, I think that actually fits his skill set pretty well. I don't think he needs a tight end out there all the time, simply because he can kind of create his own space in the pocket.
Mm-hmm. With Davis Matic, who you can follow on Twitter at Davis Matic, M-A-T-T-E-K. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR. What do you think, Davis, of what the Bills did in free agency? Do you expect the consensus of all the people I've talked to, a lot of whom have sounded a lot alike when talking about this, Mike Clay included? Well, it's a good idea, and this is a good idea. These are the right positions. This is the guy to go after. I would say, myself at least, in the case of John Brown and Cole Beasley for wide receiver, you tried for Antonio Brown. That's about the best you could do. This is the kind of tone here. The question still remains, will they be good, right? Like, is it a good enough group of players for Bills fans to think this team should really improve? What do you think?
John Brown, definitely yes. John Brown is like the fully formed version of what Robert Foster was for them last year. Hmm. He's like a version of that guy who can run all of the routes, who has steady hands at every level. Cole Beasley, I actually think, was a little bit of a misguided signing, in the sense that I think the Bills are going to try and shoehorn Allen into making some throws and calling plays in a certain way that doesn't really get the most out of his skill set. Like, I don't think Josh Allen will ever be like a hyper accurate passer, and I don't think throwing like 5 yard outs is ever really what they should be wanting from him. But that's what the Cole Beasley signing was. I actually like the tight end that they signed, Tyler Croft from mm-hmm. Cincinnati. I actually think he is a pretty solid tight end, and having rotational offensive linemen also something that I am like, I'm very pro the idea of having enough good offensive linemen to rotate.
So you're a John Brown guy?
Yeah, I am a John Brown guy. I think he's quite good. But the thing with him is that he has the sickle cell trait, so his health, like, you honestly, game to game, you don't know about his availability all the time.
And, like, so either in terms of his play in the NFL or even in fantasy, whichever you, like, sort of think of first, John Brown for you through the years, like, what have you experienced, so to speak?
So as a prospect, I was one of the people that was like, this guy absolutely should be drafted. You should take mm-hmm. him in your dynasty fantasy leagues. And I really liked him those first couple years in Arizona. Then when the health stuff started coming and Carson Palmer started cratering, I backed off a little bit, and I didn't really like him much in Baltimore either, simply because I didn't believe in Flacco, and I didn't really believe in the play calling, the hierarchy that they have there. I think this year for Buffalo, he's going to be a much better real football player than a fantasy football player, though.
All right. 15 yards per catch for his career. That's a good number for John Brown. So, you know, we've got another year here, Davis, where the over-under for the Bills is 6 or 6.5. I mean, that's kind of life for us. Would you think there's still, of course, New England is still New England, at least in terms of going into the season and expectations. Would you think, how do you see the Bills and the playoffs as an idea? Do you see that as, I think it should be the goal for them. I mean, maybe that goes without saying. Do you think that that's realistic?
So they would have to be better than the Jets. Right? That's like, really, right now, I don't even know so much if they're fighting the battle against the Patriots, but I do think they are fighting a battle against the Jets. And I like the Jets roster and their overall construction a little bit more than I like the Bills. So I think over six is probably live, and playoffs should be the goal. and it's certainly possible, but I would not say that's the most likely outcome in 2019.
Okay. Why do you like the Jets more? Like, when you say you like the roster more, what is it, firstly? Is it, you know, skill positions?
Yeah, I think Darnold is really, I think Darnold is going to be good. I have a pretty high opinion of him, like, relative to the market.
Mm-hmm.
I really like their skill position players, too. Herndon is, already an above-average tight end. Le'Veon Bell, I don't think he's that much different than Isaiah Crowell, but he's certainly not bad. Jamison Crowder is like a quality slot wide receiver. Robbie Anderson, a similar quality deep threat to John Brown even. And, they have guys like Quincy Enunwa Quincy Enunwa is your third wide receiver. That's a good third wide receiver to have.
I like that a lot. I've always liked Crowder going back. It's two or three years now to Washington when you could see his route running. You could see how good he was capable of being. So I like that move for them a lot.
Yeah, it was sort of an under the radar and unexpected signing. Like, I don't think a lot of people were tracking that one, but he is going to add a security. Like, Darnold really likes those short and intermediate throws, and Crowder is one of the absolute best at securing those at a high rate.
Right on. Davis Maddock, John Brown guy, joining me, Mike Shope, Jamison Crowder guy here. We're just having a conversation on WGR. How about the Browns, Davis? They're going to be maybe the most talked about team going into the season. I'm all for that. We talk about in here, I think this is kind of a fun exercise, thinking about the primetime schedule and the week one primetime schedule, which we should get maybe next week. And so who gets New England in that first night game? It'll be the Sunday night game this year. And you can look at New England's home opponents. And the one, there are good options. The one I like the most is Cleveland, because they're going to be so much fun. Are you sort of in line with the consensus on the Browns, or do you think maybe they're getting overhyped? What?
No, I'm definitely in line with the market on the Browns. Baker, I think, probably is. Well, he's definitely already one of the best 10 quarterbacks, but I think he could make a leap into like the top five this year. Odell Beckham is one of the two or three most impactful offensive players in the entire league. They have like young running backs. They have Jarvis Landry as the possession guy. They have David Njoku as sort of a red zone guy. Like, they just have everything you could ask on offense, and they hired a really good offensive coordinator to come in and help Freddie Kitchens.
Right. So on quarterbacks this year, Kyler Murray, more and more people seem to be convinced he'll go number one. What do you think about that, and what do you think happens to Rosen if he does?
So he should totally go number one. He is the best player in this class. He has the ability to add the most wins and points to any team that drafted him. I don't even really know if there's any. I don't even know if anyone would debate that anymore. And there are a couple interesting things that the Cardinals could do. First thing that I think would be interesting is just keep Rosen, let them compete, let them both play in training camp, watch them in the preseason, and figure out who's better. And if Rosen is better, you can trade Kyler. If Kyler is better, then you can trade Rosen. There's no reason that they would have to trade Rosen immediately. Like, they could let them both play. It's not something that an NFL team has done recently, but I would be pretty interested to see a team actually do it.
I will go most of the way with you on that. And I want to say first, before saying this, I appreciate how just unconventional some of that idea is. I mean, like, I am all for that. And, you know, it's really basically, it's that about you is why I called you. I mean, I'm all for that. The idea of drafting Murray and then trading him right away is, I mean, the kind of thing that would be nuts. It would be seen as nuts. It might not be crazy. It just would be seen as crazy. But I do, but you know, that's my opinion. On Rosen, though, I do like the idea of the Cardinals keeping him. Just it simply because trading him now to alleviate whatever distractions and sort of the off the field, you know, the other stuff that teams talk about, I just think that's outweighed by how low you'd be selling him at. If you trade him off of that season, I guess it will depend on what they get in a trade, but it would just seem like this is not the right time for that.
I mean, if the offers they're getting are like third round picks, then like, what does it even matter? Like, if that's what they're getting offered right now for Josh Rosen, there's just no point. They should just wait and see what happens, because some team will always get desperate. Some team will suffer a quarterback injury in the preseason, or you know, some situation will happen where a team will be willing up to give more for Josh Rosen. And there are still people out there that are pretty high on him, even after that sort of a disaster rookie year.
Are you?
I liked him a lot more before what I saw last season. Mm-hmm. And sort of the problem that you run into with these quarterbacks who have these horrible rookie seasons is not that it disqualifies them ever from being good, but they do kind of learn bad habits. And I can definitely see where Rosen's career would go sideways as a result of what happened his rookie year. Mm-hmm. If I was running a team that didn't have a quarterback, I would probably give up a second for him, probably not a first.
So I've already set you up as unconventional, or used one thing you said to represent that, Davis. No pressure. What do you want from the Dolphins this year?
I want them to throw the ball like 70% of the time. Let Ryan Fitzpatrick just like go crazy. Give Kenyon Drake the ball a bunch and just like try and win games without having the talent advantage. I want them to try a lot of these sort of new analytical, these new analytical ideas of like being super pass heavy or running the air raid. And I really don't want them to run a similar offense to what they did with Gates, where they were running the fewest plays in the league per game. Their running back rotation made no sense. I don't want to see anything like what the 2018 Dolphins were.
Mm-hmm. How about no punter?
Yes, I mean, exactly. That is exactly what I want to see from the Dolphins. Like, no punting, onside kicks, going forward on 4th and 8, like, just following the math on going forward on 4th. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. We both know there's almost no chance of this, but I would also love it.
Well, it's weird because they're doing this from the top level down, but they didn't seem to hire a head coach who was on board with it.
Yeah, that's right.
So the whole organization is moving forward in this, but the guy calling the plays and making the personnel decisions does not seem to be super on board with the movement.
You know, and that could go either way. I mean, he works for them, right? So, like, Doug Peterson went to Philly, and they convinced him to let the guys upstairs help him decide what to do on 4th down. And that allowed him to buck certain stereotypes, be they from his days as an offensive coordinator in Kansas City. I watched them basically run the clock out on themselves in a game they were losing in the playoffs in New England. He's a former player, but, you know, he bought in. We see that in baseball, too. Sometimes the ex-players who are coaches or managers buy in.
What I actually want Miami to do is I want them to draft this Buffalo quarterback, Tyree Jackson, and run like the hybrid Josh Allen offense where they're throwing the ball like 65% of the time, but all the pass plays have like a quarterback draw option. That's what I actually want them to do. If I got my wishes, that's what they would do.
That's just what I need in my life, is to have Miami be cool like that. Then I can root for the Dolphins and the Carolina Hurricanes, my two hated teams, because they're just interesting and fun. Well, maybe we'll see. We'll look at for that with Miami. Tyree Jackson, do you want to? Let's end with him. I mean, we saw a good deal of him here playing for UB. What's the highest you think he could go in this draft?
I mean, it's honestly impossible to say with quarterbacks, because all it takes is one, right? Like, yeah. We've seen crazy quarterbacks go in the first round. You know, the Mettenberger and like Blaine Gabbert and EJ Manuel to your Bills. Like, it just, quarterbacks have the widest range of projecting where they would go because teams can just fall in love with guys. I would say the absolute highest is probably like back end of the 2nd round, but he's probably more like a 4th round pick.
Mm-hmm. Very good, Davis. Any questions for me today?
I had no idea that you hated the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, it's just,
why,
you know.
Why are they interesting? Why are the Hurricanes interesting?
Okay, well, first, they beat the Sabres in a rare season where the Sabres were really good. And it was an intense playoff series in 2006. So for a while after that, I held a grudge. Now, I mean, they've been really good, like smart good, for a few years. This year, they figured out a couple of other pieces, got a little luckier, and are in the playoffs, and they did that cool thing with the celebrations. And, you know, old hockey yelled at them, right? They called them, Don Cherry called them a bunch of jerks. What do? They splashed the phrase "a bunch of jerks" on the ice and made T-shirts. Like, I can get with that. That's why.
Okay, that is pretty cool. I'm on board with that. That is cool to fight back against the old guard.
I made my case well enough. Very good, Davis. Nice to talk to you again.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. Anytime, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.